when you're in breakout rooms, that element will all be completely unrecorded, so you don't need to worry. That is a safe space for your individual conversations as well. Please do raise your hand if you want to make a comment in the participants. Please, we'll have an eye on that. But also feel free to drop anything into the chat box as well. We do want to kind of hear what people have got to say or ask questions and answer as we go along. And so we really want to take this as a learning opportunity, but also a collaborative place where we can share our ideas and our thoughts. So I'm going to jump straight in then by sharing my first poll with you all today. We've got two questions on there, so I'll scroll down. But I'm interested in knowing, one, what type of Zoomer you think you might be. Have you just woken up, maybe, like Sarah, although she was up an hour ago? Are you someone that always likes to be talking? Are you the one that's dressed professional from the waist up, but as I saw a picture the other day, might have your cycling shorts or something on down below? And then once you've made your decision on that one, our second thing that we're interested in hearing is, what was your main driver for attending today's session? So you might have a couple of different reasons, but it kind of helps for myself and Marshall as well to shape a little bit where we're going today. So I can see the percentages are going up now, so I'll give you all a couple of seconds. Waiting on two more, I think. It's not voted yet. Okay, so we've got about 80%. A number of you walking around the house, and a lot of you wanting to improve your Zoom and online delivery. So I'm going to share these results with you very quickly. Can everyone just give me a thumbs up that you can see the different results? Brilliant. Okay, so there we are. Walking around the house has come out tops, which I was quite surprised about. And then down here, improving online delivery and interested in creative team teaching and engaging my team more effectively online. They're exactly the reasons that I was hoping we'd be able to run this session today. So that's fantastic. I'm going to hand over now then to Marta, who's going to start to talk us through some of these things and how we can work on it, to introduce herself and then start into the actual full session.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Very early morning for some of us and maybe different times. I don't know exactly where you are, but I would like to say hello to Katie. Thank you very much for inviting me, and to Sarah, to Malaika, Claire, Amy, Juliet, Emma, Sveta, Opal, Tonya, and Anthony. Hello, everyone. I hope that I didn't miss anyone. Hi. I am here today to engage you with some conversation about how we can actually become more human on the screen at the time when it can be quite difficult and quite challenging. The times are tough, and they probably will be even tougher for educators from September. We know that we don't know what is going to happen, and we have to be prepared just in case for an alternative form, many forms of delivery as educators, leaders, and colleagues. My specialization as an academic is in research of creativity and education, different pedagogical methods, including teaching and learning online, and different forms of creative articulation and communication. I am myself a filmmaker, so for me, this kind of situation, I thought it was quite natural before it started, with so much pressure to attend meetings, maybe sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a day, then it becomes a job. It's not really exactly as artistic and as creative as filmmaking is. However, today I am bringing some elements from my experience as a researcher and a practitioner in visual studies, creativity, and education. And I would like to start from showing my little PowerPoint, starting with my logo. Of course, I couldn't miss that opportunity to tell you about my social enterprise that is called In Light Of. Can you see the screen? Uh, You are all muted.
Yeah.
You can unmute yourself.
Please
unmute yourself, all of you, please. All of you. Yes, if we could unmute ourselves, that would be fantastic. Yes. Just let's unmute ourselves. Is it something different from you, what you normally do? You always keep yourselves muted, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just to make sure there's no feedback. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So can you tell me just a little bit more about it? That one reason is so there is no echo. What are other reasons why you keep yourselves muted?
Yes, for me, I like to talk a lot. And so I mute myself so I can talk, but not be.
When the time comes. Hello, Ima. Ima has joined. You can unmute yourself, Ima. What else? What are other reasons why you so unanimously actually switched the microphone off without even being asked? What is happening there? Hello, Claire. Yes.
I think that in some meetings, when they're quite formal, whoever is leading the meeting often asks people to mute themselves, because if there's other people in wherever you are, or other things going on, and if there's a lot of people on the meeting, they just do it as a matter of course. So I think it's just formality sometimes.
Okay. Yes. Did you hear that? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Does anyone else want to share? I can see there is another person joining. Yeah, is joined. And Tsveta wants to say something. Yes, Tsveta?
I'll throw something in the mix that I'm sure it's on all of our list of reasons also. I have a doggy who's peacefully sleeping right there. And and I have two kids that are now in the house all the time. So just making sure that I don't add this to a meeting.
So you don't want to bring those noises from your own space to the meeting. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. Yeah. Just out of being respectful for the attendees and the event.
Oh, I see.
Well, I would also say it's to be respectful to my family. My family doesn't want to be heard on every meeting I'm on and to have to worry about what they might say are you done yet, mommy? I mean, you know, they don't want to be heard saying that.
My family has a secret language, so we have a bit of an advantage there. We speak Bulgarian to each other, so this may give us a little bit of a headway.
Wonderful. Anthony, you wanted to throw something in.
Yeah, it's been covered actually. You know, noises off, dogs, children, lawnmower from next door, everything. You know, everything like that.
Wow, that is so interesting and so important. All these little things that are actually not so little when we are human beings, live and kicking in our own spaces, and we are trying to negotiate that life that we have actually embodied in our space before we even joined the meeting. Well, I will come back to it, all right, but for this particular seminar, unless you decide so out of respect for other members of your family, for this experiment, I would like us to keep unmuted. Unless you decide otherwise, then absolutely I respect that. Okay, let's see what is going to happen. So I run a small social enterprise called In Light Of, where I consult universities and educators on different forms of communication, online and online, and creating partnerships. But what is important for us for this today, for this exercise, is that I started an online school for children immediately when the lockdown in the UK started. So I teach 6 hours a day, children from 6 to 16 years old, and they have provided me with a lot of very interesting experience, knowledge, pain, enlightenment about what creative energy online is. So today I must share it with you. I am bringing a lot of my initial research on what creative energy is, when human beings meet together in a confined space, which has actually two characteristics. That confined space where we meet, well, is twofold. So when you look at my screen, the team of two people where I would normally, for example, coach someone or discuss an issue would be in this room. That's the room where I am, but you have a different view, of course, because the camera can only take it from one angle. So this is my physical space that you can see now from the front. So you can see what I'm looking at, but by looking at my little box, if you can see me now in the little box, you can see the back side of, literally, of my space. Whereas the other space that we see is the space that I have now used as an example, a meeting of some UNESCO colleagues, and of course us here live. So, to use the word which would characterize it academically, we are operating in two different ontological spaces. And this is a very important word because it means that at the same time, our human body and brain operates across the physical space where you are now with your children, your dogs, your parents, maybe family, speaking in another room. And we also are in this space that is created for us by Zoom, by a digital tool of whatever kind, where we are together, but not together. We are together, but really not together. So we are in two spaces at the same time. Well, you could say, what's new about it? Online teaching and learning has been going on for the last 30 years. We've been using what's called distance teaching and learning. So people had to get used to it. Yes and no. We were teaching and using certain tools, but never to the extent like now, that it has actually invaded our personal life to the extent that we have identified at the very beginning as something that is actually there, and even our dogs and kids and parents are affected by it. We don't do it from our office spaces anymore. We don't do it like we used to in the parameters of our office hours. We actually have been pushed in between these two ontological spheres, you could say, without being prepared mentally and physically. Our brain is not quite ready for it. So we have a lot to forgive ourselves, okay? So let's relax. It is still new to all of us and we are trying our best. Well, how are we trying? I am going to introduce my own concept that I have already developed on the basis of my research in film studies and education, and also interpretation of communication as such. Through the experience with children and meetings with my colleagues, I have realized that something is happening during our online meetings. Something is happening in between the screen and where our body is. And we really need to think about a little bit before we start more practically. What is it that is happening? We've been experiencing it for some time, at least since the 1st of March, but there's still very little research actually to name what's been going on between our own body, brain, and the digital tools that we have been graced with. I have defined those actions in three groups, but they work at the same time. And now I call it ACI, or you can call it ACI, whatever you prefer. It looks like when we are online now in this meeting, we are affected. We are affected. There is affect going, there is affect taking place, which precedes our cognitive communication. Affect that is coming from the very non-verbal, precognitive way of being. So before you even started talking, we have been already affected by the screen and all the boxes that we have seen together. Some people waved, some people were still reshuffling themselves, some people still are sipping coffee. This is your body in your space. And you are trying your best to be here, to connect. But at the same time, as I said at the beginning, your body is very much in your personal space. So the connection that is taking place, it is between people, real people, two kinds of spaces, ontologically different. One is your personal space and one is the space of the screen, and affect. And affect is all of this that you feel now, all of this that you feel now. And if you could just for now, for me, just stretch a little bit and feel your body, just stretch a little bit this way or another, so we can actually, we can be sure that our body is here. Guys, we are real, okay? This is not going anywhere. Tap yourself, okay? Tap your head. Everything is okay. And most importantly, tap your knees. Tap your knees. Where are your legs? Where are your feet in this meeting? They are not on the screen. Are they real? Well, we can't see them, but they are very much part of this meeting. What we can't see is connecting. What we can't really articulate is part of this meeting. And constantly, by being here in these two spaces, we are interpreting two different kinds of signals and more. One type coming from me when I'm speaking to you, now looking at you, and you are reading my face, interpreting what I'm saying, trying really hard to focus, because you are here, you know, for a reason. You made this decision. It's 6:30 maybe, or, you know, a.m. or p.m. And you have made a decision to actually get something from it. You are trying to focus. But hello, at the same time, there is another stream of signals that is coming from all around your space. And that creates a certain kind of dissonance for which mental health studies are not prepared. Definitely our students are not prepared, and us educators are not yet quite prepared. But we are trying. So we have the ACI model, affect, connection, and interpretation, playing at all times from the moment you open your Zoom and you sit in front of your screen, whether it's a one-to-one meeting with someone, or whether it's a group meeting, right? So I am a co-host, so I am going to put myself on the spot, so you can actually use me as an example, right? tapping, I'm still here. Well, by speaking to you like this, I have created a certain kind of frame, yes? We try to maybe do something to create a frame. However, what we do even now without thinking, in 2 months, we've been already trained, maybe even subconsciously, I believe culturally, to create a certain kind of setting for our own representation, meaning how we look and how we are received by others. So I have created this little frame. Well, we try to sit against some kind of background that is not producing too much noise using the film expression. It's not always easy when you are an academic. Probably the only space available to you is the space covered with books, which means, of course, they produce noise, but at the same time, they produce some kind of professional background. People started using green screens of different kinds. I can't see anyone on the beach. Let me check. Oh, there is one map, and a couple of people switched off completely. That is their choice, yes? What can we do about it? So if it was the meeting with, for example, only three people, and two of them were switched off, and one of them was on the screen, I would be speaking to that person whose face I can see. This is the most natural, the basic, the most humane, instinctive way of communicating with each other. We are looking at each other. We want to read our faces. We want to understand the mimics, the gesture, the expression that is coming with what the talking head is saying. I have also obviously tried to, you know, put something so-called professional, and I'm using the expression so-called because nobody knows what's underneath the table. And that's the beauty. Well, how many people, and you can shout because you are invited to be unmuted, how many people are bare feet? Who is bare feet? Tveta? Oh, I can see the hand. Tveta is bare feet. Or you can shout flip-flops.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Flip-flops, yeah, I can see the chat. Chat is helpful, yes, that's fine. Great, great. Very relaxed under the table.
Yes.
That's very beautiful. This is so beautiful. Good news for all women who were tortured for centuries to actually wear high heels and certain kind of footwear to look professional. Liberation, at least from the waist down. Don't push it, though. You never know. Other form of dissonance is also new, and it can be constraining and liberating at the same time. So these two words I also want to introduce for today. This whole new situation is constraining and liberating. And we need to find for our students and ourselves and our colleagues to what extent it is constraining and to what extent it is liberating. And what can we take from it to gain and what has to go? Well, what has to go? I would like us to close our eyes, all right? Close our eyes. I can't see your faces, but I trust that you are doing it. Not all of you. Yes, I can see. So let's close our eyes. It may not be such a pleasant imagery that I'm going to evoke now, but bear with me. Imagine you are in the board meeting back to the old office. You are in the board meeting in that space where you usually used to see your colleagues. You come into the board room or conference room or any meeting where you were always formally discussing given issues a couple of times a week. What is in that room? Try to revoke that image in your head. What is the space in the old room? Can you share with me? Just share with me. What can you see there in the old office boardroom? What's there?
Table and chairs.
Chairs and yes, and people. Chairs. Are the chairs the same?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Someone invested.
Stiff yeah. Leather chairs.
Stiff leather wheels.
Lots of windows.
Yes. Nice. What else? Yes,
small
Anthony.
Board screens.
Small, quite constrained. Small room. Whiteboard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, quite small. Yes. A whiteboard. Did you say whiteboard? Blackboard? Yeah.
Smart board. Yeah, the smart screens.
Uh huh. What about the windows? Are they closed or open?
Closed.
They're closed.
Why?
Office building can't open them.
The
no
air
fresh air.
No windows.
No windows.
Uh-huh. We don't have windows in ours either.
Oh, no windows at all. What are the people doing? What are the people doing in the meeting before it starts? Just about to start. What are they doing?
They're checking their phones.
Yeah.
Drinking coffee.
Coffee.
Smiling. Starting to connect with one another face to face.
Now someone is about to open the meeting, someone who is the chair or the leader of a committee. What happens then with people?
It shifts, I find. You go from having maybe a little bit of chit-chat to suddenly being very often feeling quite formal in terms of how you should be sitting or responding.
How do we know how to behave? Well, we do know.
We've read articles.
Take the cues.
I think it's instinctive.
Instinctive? Oh, after, yeah. Someone has been on the market for quite a while. As a professional, yeah. We know.
We've been conditioned this way.
We've been conditioned. Well, so that meeting, let it go now. Let the chair do their job. And that meeting now is gone. Bye-bye. Fly away the office space. And let's come back now to your space. And now just open your eyes and look around your space. Here we are. Well, is it different? How is it different?
Night and day.
Night and day, positively or negatively?
Positively. So I don't know this at the office.
Is it Sarah speaking?
No, sorry, it's Malaika.
Oh, Malaika, okay, I can see you now, yes.
Sorry, yes. Night and day, yes, no, I just held up a little doll because I have my daughter's toys everywhere. She just popped in, so.
Welcome, toy, hello.
I have a lot more plants. I don't know if
more plants?
Them. Yeah.
Lovely.
They don't survive on my desk.
Oh, good. We come back to this, okay? To these both little activities. You will come back to them in your breakout rooms to reflect a little bit deeper. However, for now, what I want to say is, just to pull together what you have said, yes, we have been conditioned in a certain way. Yes, we have been doing it for very long. Our students, although they may be younger or also older, they also have been conditioned in a similar way. So let's think about them as well. They are also in this situation. They also remember the classroom. They know how to behave. They know where the smart board is. They know where the teacher turns to them. It means quiet. Now we are focusing. We know the sensation of the old leather, not always leather, a chair, quite sweaty possibly. We know the bad quality of the office coffee. And we know how to bear through to the end, thinking, whew, done. That's my work life. Now I'm going to my home space. Well, now we don't have that division anymore. And this, again, can be constraining for some reasons and liberating for others. I think that Malaika has already given us some idea, and I think you all here have experienced the heaven, the bright side. We can be bare feet, we can have our children close by. Maybe before the meeting they will have a nap and won't even notice that we were away. Maybe we can actually be more productive because we have more time and more plants that survived because we cared for them and gave attention to the domesticity that normally is excluded from the office environment and classroom environment. And we have been going on with this for a long time. Now we have this moment, one moment in time, that we can take those elements of the bright side and make the best out of them by actually naming them and enabling our students and colleagues to embrace them. But they can also be constraining. Someone said, I need to respect other members of my family. They may not want to be in my heaven. They may want to actually use the room that I am using, and I only have two rooms total. some young couples, maybe even one room, which is an open space, and they can't actually do much together. That is the constraining side. And I don't want to unpack here, I am doing another workshop on diversity and how different students with disabilities and also students who need to cover their faces for different reasons will feel. That is something that we need to also consider. So these are the elements that we need to name. We should not fade away from naming these constraining aspects, but also those liberating aspects. And let's face it, the liberating aspects have very feminine side, very feminine nature. That's why they have been excluded from the office space, which always had to be neutral, neutrally decorated, devoid of color, and if any color, white, bright, something maybe beige or black, but not crazily, not too much of crazy pink, because that completely changes the reception and the interpretation of what a professional is. If I appeared like this to you, I would be a different person. You would read me in a different way. However, I have come with this a little masculinized shape for you to give myself a little bit of that professional echo for which we've been conditioned. However, it's enough to just avoid the square shoulders and a different person appears. All these elements now, we can actually bring them to the table and to the frame and start talking about them as the opportunity to actually change the politics of the office as it used to be, conditioning us for so many decades, and now bring the more what we call feminine. I mean, it shouldn't be like that, but it is like that, yes? But here we are to maybe show that this whole division was not necessary and was artificial from the very beginning. So that is something, that is the situation now. We have the chance to bring affect, connection, and interpretation to the game and try to talk to our students and our colleagues about how we can actually make this energy of the meeting more humane, more holistic, including both ontological spaces, private and office-like, and try to create a new space which has never been before, which means we are in power. We can decide, we can do something about it, and we can create our new curricula syllabi for the next semester, actually producing certain kind of annotations and introductions to explain to your students how much you feel for them, how much you understand this situation, and how much you invite them to share with you their own experiments and feelings when they are in this situation, when they are part of the frame while their legs are still in the foot spa. That's what I'm doing. I will save you the view, but why not? If it can actually make me more relaxed and productive and confident, then it is my decision and I am inviting you to accept it. Now, we are moving to the breakout rooms. And in the breakout rooms, which Katie will put us in, so I won't be there, and Katie will do it at random, there will be two quick activities that I want you to do together in small groups, okay? So I am putting the slide for the breakout rooms. It's a little bit of, there is a little bit of writing here, but don't worry, it's only there if you have doubts, but you already understand what to do. Well, you understand because, okay, one more thing, look at me. Have you noticed that I've been looking at you from the moment we started? Yeah. I've been looking at you, which means I've been looking at the green spot of the camera, and it's bloody hard to do it for so long. I can't see anyone back. I just can see the green light, but you have noticed the difference.
Yes.
I've been communicating with you individually. I know it. When the moment I turn my gaze away when I teach little children, there is no chance that they treat me seriously. They don't treat me real anyway. But what helps is that I am putting my gaze on them. And the gaze, the concept of the gaze in the first exercise will be tested by all of you. So I just wanted to come back because I wanted to emphasize, I exaggerate now, but this is what I've been doing. And if I stop, if I try to look at Katie, if I try to look at Sarah, if I try to look at Anthony and Andrea and Emma and Juliet and check who is here, this is what's happening. Can you see my face?
Yes.
Well, so I want you to test this for yourselves in small groups. And the task number one is to do exactly that. One participant looks into the camera in silence, not doing anything, just waving and observe what's happening, and using their face to smile and to change their facial expression, and the rest of the group observes. And you can, if you have enough time, you can try two people to sit silently and others are observing. You know how to choose yourselves as volunteers for this. And then you share, how does it feel to actually be observed and be observing when there are only non-cognitive signals in place, hands, face, eyes, and smiles on both sides? And does it influence or hinders connection? Just reflect. The second exercise is, one person is talking about something, you can just go with the flow and talk about your new syllabus or your children or your experience with your boss recently, maybe not, something that you just go with the flow. And all other participants at that time when this person is talking are looking beyond the screen, but slowly, just acknowledging what is happening. That person will just be talking. And you acknowledge what is happening around you and write down what is affecting you most. What smells, colors, sounds, maybe people next door are actually affecting you, affecting your body, affecting your yourself, your mind, and how those signals from around then influence the understanding of what that person is talking about. So please, the person who will be talking, don't tell them what you will be talking about, okay? And then you will reflect, how does it hinder or help the interaction, the fact that you are in this space. Discuss the flow of energy in both exercises.
Wow.
So, well, it is not comparable to office meetings, and we probably wouldn't like to have office meetings for 4 hours. But I have discovered that if we apply ACI consciously as teachers, the energy flows in a different way from what we know as an office style. And they flow and they can last longer without feeling that pain of being constrained in the office context. But you may try on your own, and I would be very happy to hear if you manage to apply it. Just these two little exercises are a mini start to it. So let's share what happened. How did it feel to look into the camera? Who was the looking person? Who was the looker? Anthony, how did it feel?
Very difficult. I took a long time actually to find the point where the camera was, the green spot, as you put it. And you know, to concentrate on that and not be tempted to, you know, or to look at slightly. It's easier to talk in through. But I mean, I'm trying to be, I'm aware you're there and you're listening, and I'm wanting to see responses. But I have to look at the I have to remember.
Come closer, Anthony. Come closer to the microphone, please.
There you are. You know, there's a good example. Isn't it? I've got this new webcam. It's positioned. I haven't got it quite right yet. The microphone isn't quite right. I feel quite constrained by it now. And probably I'm not cueing the right things I should be doing. I was saying earlier, you know, it's a little bit like perhaps looking at someone's passport picture.
Great. I will write it down. Exactly.
Dynamic, you know.
That's how it feels, yes. Well, but this is the new time. Our senses, our whole body, our brain is learning new things. It can be a new professional skill that probably will be required in the next interview. How can you actually be interviewed if you are not looking at your interviewer? But the interviewers are not ready for it yet, so don't worry. It's coming, though. Who else was the looker?
In my group, we were all lookers. We all tried it for a snippet of time. And I want to say just very quickly, as the human that I am, I immediately started troubleshooting and thinking, how can this little dot be someone you talk to? There must be a better way. How do I humanize this? Do I put two googly eyes on the frame of my laptop, or do I stick a face right above that of a student or a person that I can talk to? And I started troubleshooting immediately. Yeah. Like, what can I do?
Amazing little face on the camera, beautiful. And maybe Tveta, you could actually write to Google.
Right.
There is a need for this new invention, mm-hmm. obviously. Thank you, Tveta. Otherwise, it will be like looking at the passport scanning system. All right, and how did other people feel?
I found that I was struggling to pick up cues, obviously, because I was looking directly at the camera, and like you said earlier, you can't see any of the participants, and I found that really distracting. Because I'm used to looking at the people in a meeting and picking up some of the cues, nonverbal, from them. So I find it quite distracting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We were, in our group, we were talking about the fact is that I think somebody said that you don't see if somebody smiles. Right. So if I'm talking and you guys are like, yes, and smiling, all of a sudden you get positive feedback. And I was saying that with mask wearing outside of our professional spaces, we also don't see those smiles. Right. So it's not mm-hmm. just even our professional Zoom, Google Hangout space here in the screen, but it's everything outside of it, which is hard. You miss it.
Yeah.
So you go, you're in a queue for the shot at the grocery store, and you're like, I am smiling at you, hello, and you have to exaggerate your face and your eyes.
Say,
thank you so much. So
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Amen to that. I live in the South, the southern part of the United States, the Southeast, and here there's this thing where people speak. Hi, good morning, Shona. How are you? And that's very cultural. And so for that absence, I feel it very strongly. Mm-hmm. And to Sarah's point, I make an effort to be more exaggerated with my eyes when I have my mask on, mm-hmm. so people can see that I'm smiling.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do it now in the streets as well when you are yes. using the mask?
Yeah.
Yes, and make eye contact. Yeah. Uh-huh. If someone's walking their dog or whatever, just a nod. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Amazing. Uh-huh. Your skill.
Yeah.
I noticed to smile with her eyes, I guess.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone tried to wave?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what happened when one person on the screen waves?
More people.
Wave back.
Every single time. Every single time. I don't know what it is, but it must be something very innate in our in our way how humans interpret signals. This is a friendly gesture, and if someone adds a smile, try it with your students, try it with your colleagues. Every single time when someone waves, the other person waves back. So you could have actually a whole group sitting in their own spaces, and you control the response. Hi, everyone. Hello.
I actually didn't wave, but I clapped my hands with Inma, and she reacted the same way.
Wow. Like
it wasn't a wave. It was.
Show us?
Yeah, I just clapped my hands as though in a prayer, prayerfully, and she reacted the same way.
There is something really going on in between, which is for me still an amazing, really finding that there can be so much energy flowing between this completely inanimate object and me as a human being when you did this and the other person also responds, or when we do this. I know it's exaggerated, but it kind of produces more reaction, impulses, maybe positive as well, positive sharing of this energy. You build on this positivity with certain gestures that we can actually learn to give and receive, to give and receive, which is what is happening here in this space. Is to me as a researcher and a teacher of young kiddies who today celebrated their birthday and completely ruined the living room, and I was part of it, I know that something very, very humane is happening in between that has not been named yet. And we need to work on this space here. Because normally we just think about us only or that. But the most important flow is happening here, that we can negotiate and channel as teachers and educators and leaders. I will be very happy to work on it further. I think there is a lot of potential here. And what about when one person was talking and you were acknowledging your space?
I mentioned that my door opened, one of my children poked their head in, and I immediately dropped my attention from the meeting and switched to what was happening out here.
Constraining or liberating?
Well, that's evolving. Because a couple of months ago, that would have been very constraining. But now it's liberating, because socially it's acceptable and it's okay to have a child with a cameo.
In fact, we kind of liked it. I was on a webinar from a friend who's the SIO big virtual exchange thing yesterday, and her cat, her brand new kitten, walked across her. And all of a sudden, she was like, oh, I was so horrified. I'm like, it totally humanized you. Right? So, and Malaika, we wanted to meet your daughter the other day. So.
Everybody talks about how dehumanizing Zoom can be. But you just said it humanized you.
Yeah.
How beautiful is that? That little cat, or the, I've heard that someone, even a mother, actually didn't care and started breastfeeding.
Wow.
Well, these are the new times. Nobody knows where it's going. And nobody knows how to put and define the borders yet. But I think this is the beautiful time to actually do something for the change of the concept of work, for the future of work, for better conditions of work, and moving from the formalized, masculinized conditions that were imposed on us in the past to a more humanized and relaxed, and I think also complex spaces of what a worker, an employee, and a student brings with them. They bring more than a waist up, then they bring more than their brain. And if we could acknowledge all that, then maybe the whole education and the work, how meeting rooms operate, will have to change.
So Marta, I have an observation to directly to your point. When we re-entered the wider Zoom room, automatically we were muted. And I noticed that in other meeting platforms. If you enter the meeting and there are already people in the space, the system automatically mutes you. Mm-hmm. But we have the power to take that off.
Yes, we have the power to unmute.
Yeah.
Also metaphorically, unmute so many different layers in ourselves that we can bring to work that normally there was not even a question about what else are we in our personal spaces. But now it's here. It cannot be hidden unless you put the green screen. Even the choice of your green screen is telling something. So there are those new multi-leveled layers of information about us as workers, students, professionals that we are unearthing. And as Malika said before, it was very constraining and stressful 2 months ago, only 2 months later, and we are communicating in a very different way.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Marta. I'm just a little conscious of time because I know we have gone a bit over and some people have already left us, but I know many of you might have other meetings coming up. So I don't know if we want to wrap up there. I know you've got some resources, but maybe we could send them out to the mailing list instead. Would that be okay?
Okay. That's absolutely great. Can I just show my conclusion slide?
Go for it.
Thank you. The energy online is produced by the human connection between people, their bodies, and their reactions in a space, conflated from the personal space and the space of the screen. That's what I call ACI in action. Affect, connection, and interpretation. And the resources, yes, I will send to you. No problem.
Thank you so much.
When we meet next time, maybe.
Excellent.
Fabulous.
Looking
thank
forward
you.
To it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Be well.
Thank you. Have a very good day.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.